If anybody would like a Bible, please put a hand up and Walter will bring those to you. Whilst doing that, please turn, if you have a Bible, to Matthew chapter 2, and we shall be reading verses 1 to 12. That's Matthew 2, 1 to 12, and that's page 966 in the Red Church Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, which means wise men, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's just bow in prayer. Loving Father, we've heard these words so many times. Well, we very well know that this, your word, is a bottomless pit of blessing. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to drink from that bottomless pit, that your spirit would open our eyes and, more importantly, our hearts. And may you just encourage us with what you speak to us today individually. Amen. Right, there's some worksheets for the children on that. I don't want any adults taking any. It's just for the children. And as we're waiting, as they're being handed out, I want to do a bit of an introduction. Thinking about news. News is a neutral term, isn't it, when you think about it? We have to modify it. We have to say it's good news or bad news or it's irrelevant news. And it very much depends upon the people who hear it and their context. Let's just talk briefly about Syria, right? So Syria has gone through a major upheaval with Assad leaving, and there's been jubilation in the streets. So it gives the impression that it's joy throughout, but that's not so. The sect that he comes from, the Alawites, are very much, I'm sure, trying to keep low. Because he was from that sect and he very much favoured them and really treated everyone else very poorly, etc. And so for them, it is bad news. And for others, they're thinking, what's coming? Same old? Or will it be different? Will it be better? Will it be worse? You see, so news is generally neutral. And we're going to be looking at this news of the newborn king. And we're looking at three people, or a group of people in some situations, how they respond to it, and then thinking, how do we respond to it? Now, there's a general principle in Scripture which this passage upholds, and the Christmas narrative does, that basically the Jews were the first to hear and to receive the news on that. So we have Mary, obviously, and Joseph. Then you get the shepherds, all Jews, Anna and Simeon. But today we're going to be looking at the first Gentiles that hear it. It's for us. We are Gentiles. We don't think of ourselves as that. And so this is the first response of the Gentiles of which we are part. So the first person I want to look at is Herod, Oh, it was Herod. He was the king of the Jews already. So you can imagine when he heard it, he was rather displeased. In fact, we're told very troubled, because basically he would no longer be king. And which king likes to step down from being a king unless forced to? So he's very troubled. See, for him, this news is very credible. It's news to him, bad news. But for him, it's credible because he is a half-Jew and knows about this Messiah. He refers to them as the Messiah. He asks the religious leaders where the Messiah was to be born in verse 4. He knew there was a king that was coming. He didn't know when, just like the rest of Israel. But he was worried. You see, he was the king of the Jews, but he wasn't appointed by the people. He was appointed by Rome, and he was a brutal king. He was a brutal king. He killed anybody who threatened his kingly rule. Hence, the people of Jerusalem were troubled. Right? So King Herod, just picture it. He's the king, and it's here, there's a newborn king here. Right, the king of the Jews. So who is he going to target? The Jews in Jerusalem, and they know what he's going to do. He's going to be searching out for that king, for the family of that king, for any relatives, and he's going to wipe them out. And of course, if a few odd innocent people get caught, so be it, collateral damage. So the whole of Jerusalem is worried about it. So obviously, he doesn't know where this king has been born, so he then asks the religious leaders, where has he been born? And they tell him it's in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, on that. So he then, obviously his mind is concocting, because he asks them, so he finds out it's Bethlehem, then he calls back the magi, or the wise men, and asks when this star appeared. Seems a strange question, but he's thinking in his mind, they've travelled afar. And that king would, that star would have appeared when he was born. So I need to work out how old this child is. So then he's got this plan to kill them, but he has to wait until he knows where the child is. So he asks the magi, once they've found him, to tell him, so he can pay homage. But that was a deception. And I wonder, even if God is working in that evil man's heart, because if I'd been the king, I don't know about you, I would say, oh, let me send an armed group with you. These are strange lands, you don't know. Let me send some army people with you to guide you to Bethlehem on that. And then they could have just bumped off King Jesus straight away. But he doesn't. I think, personally, it's just a theory in my own mind, that I think God was restraining even then. So that's King Herod. Bad news. And for the rest of Jerusalem, worried. So then on to the religious leaders. A new king born for the Jews? Unimportant to them. They are part of the whole of Jerusalem. So they too are troubled, because they know they're going to be at the sharp end of King Herod's anger on that. They had greater knowledge than Herod. Herod knew a Messiah was going to be born, but he didn't know where. The religious leaders, they knew where, and they give the prophecy. But it doesn't cause them to search. They just know it. They're indifferent to it. It's irrelevant. They do nothing on that. We may think that's rather strange, but I think it's strange also that this is a general theme as well. When the shepherds knock on everyone's door and go throughout Bethlehem telling them about it, you would have thought, wow, let's go and see. No, nobody moves. Nobody forms a queue, British line of queue, etc., to knock on that door. Indifference. And once again, the religious leaders show indifference. Now, it could be because they were rather afraid. They didn't want to side with this newborn king. They didn't want to, if you like, be felt as part of that. We don't know. But anyway, at the end of the day, they didn't do anything. They just told what they were told. They answered what they were asked for, and they kept quiet and didn't do anything about it. So they do nothing. So then we're on to the wise men, the Magi. The news is they saw a star. Now, we don't know exactly who they were, where they were from, but we know they were from far away lands. And for them, astrology, looking into the stars, was very important. And when you saw a new star arising, it was a major event. And they linked it up. We're not told exactly, but that they realized it was a new king, a newborn king had been born. And to them, it's a special king, because there isn't a star for every single king. Could you imagine a new star arising every time a new king's appointed in the whole world? To them, they knew this was a special king. It was a special sign for them on that. So they knew, they thought that being a newborn king and the king of the Jews, that they should go to Jerusalem. And so they go to Jerusalem, and he's not there. And I put myself in their shoes, you know, and they're told it's Bethlehem. You think, no, can't be. And I think they probably were disappointed on that, thinking maybe the stars were wrong. Maybe we misinterpreted them on that. Maybe it was all wrong and that we got it wrong. But no. And this is where the Lord is really gracious. If we look at the verse here, when he said, after they'd heard the king in verse 9, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They haven't seen the Lord Jesus yet they're overjoyed because it's confirming to them this is true. And notice how they say in verse 3, I think it is, verse 2, we saw his star. It doesn't say a star. It says his star. They saw the star and associated it with being Jesus on that. They realized that it's true. We are getting closer. And the joy and expectation really rises to them. So, then we get something strange. Well, wonderfully strange, right? So we read on. Now they said, right from verse 2, we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now that word worship him is not the usual word for worship him. It's more a case of like pay homage. It is more of the position you take before the person you pay homage on that. So it's not the normal word for it. But look what happens when they see the child. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Obviously, it probably during the day. We don't know. So Joseph was out working, and they bowed down and worshipped him. There was something about this child, something that really struck them, and they bowed down and worshipped. This was a very special king. They'd searched for him and found him. They saw him and worshipped him. This was, if you like, spontaneous worship. Not premeditated. They'd said, we come to pay homage. They'd had all these ideas, what they were going to do. And they got these gifts they wanted to give. But they saw him. They saw him for the first time. And they worshipped him. Oh, amazing. There was something even in the child Jesus, probably between 1 and 2, that already made him stand out. And they worshipped him. And then they gave him gifts. We all know the gifts so well, and much has been made about those gifts. The Lord obviously moved them, but the main thing, they gave the best. This is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the gold is for a king. Frankincense, a priestly gift throughout the region, and it was used in the temple as well. And myrrh for embalming on that. They gave the very best they had to that child on that. And can you see the Lord's provision? They're going to be fleeing to Egypt. Egypt's a long way away. They are poor. When it came for Mary to be cleansed from her birth, they offered 2 turtle doves. The least that you were allowed to offer for a cleansing. They were poor. And they got to get to Egypt. And they had the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And God had provided for them so they could escape and get away safely from that. And they gave gifts. So those are the three people we've seen: bad news, indifferent news, good news. I suppose the question is, what about us? What is our response? And I think there's 2 camps probably here. There's some people who hear I'm in the uninterested camp altogether. This doesn't really touch me. I have no need of this person, etc. Oh, sorry, I should be going to the good news. I flicked over a page to mine. So what is this good news? It's good news for all. The angel said right from the beginning, it's good news for all people. You see, what is the good news? Well, let's look at Micah's prophecy. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Notice the connection there. Ruler and shepherd. He's going to be a shepherd king. He's going to care for his people. A shepherd has no other focus but the sheep. And he should lay down his life for those sheep. If he lost any of those sheep, he had to reimburse the cost of it. Focused totally on the sheep, just like a king should be. A king who was a godly king was somebody who cared for the people. He didn't try and, if you like, protect himself, his throne, try and carry on a dynasty, oppress people. He was meant to be purely there to care, especially for the vulnerable. He was supposed to be wise, not show favoritism. He was supposed to be the shepherd king. And this shepherd king, he will lay down his life for them. He will lay down his life willingly for them. He will be the ultimate shepherd king. We look to that at Easter time. There is no other king like that. There is no other shepherd king like that. And the wonderful little, interesting fact is, the Gentiles give him the name King of the Jews. And it's mentioned throughout all 4 Gospels, and yet the Jewish people never received him as their king. And the last time it appears is on the cross. It's put above his head by a Gentile, by Pontius Pilate. The Pharisees say, he didn't just say he said that. He said, "No, I've written what I've said. Jesus, the King of the Jews." And so you have these 2 bookends. You have the Gentiles coming from the east saying this: where has the newborn King of the Jews been born? Where is he? Notice they don't say, the baby that will become the King of the Jews. He was born King of the Jews. He died as King of the Jews. And he was a shepherd king all the way through his life. He never put himself first. He never abused his power. He cared and cared. He cared for the lepers. He cared for the women. He cared for the children. He went out of his way to care for people. And then ultimately, he died with that title above his head. His was not an earthly throne. And where it was recognized at the end is upon a cross. Upon a cross for you and me, he was the King of the Jews, the Shepherd King, who ultimately and willingly dies for them. So, what is our response? So, saying, probably there's some here that think it's a nice story, but it's irrelevant. Well, let me challenge you in the nicest possible way. See the special signs. Be like the wise men. They looked and they saw this sign. And they could have said, oh, hey up, Fred, or Bill, or whatever the names, they wouldn't have had their name, Zachariah, whatever. Said, look, it's a star. It means a new king. Oh yeah, interesting. Well, we must pass it around. And done nothing about it. They weren't forced to travel, to go over a year of traveling to see this newborn thing. Look for the signs. So let's look at the signs. Just three. The virgin birth. There's been no other virgin birth. And God did it. The angels, God sent them. The star in the sky, God did that. He did it for Gentiles. He reached out to them in a way that they could understand. He didn't force them. He didn't push them into trying to become a Jew. He reached out to them and said, this is the way I want to tell you about a newborn king. And he sent a star. Those are three special signs. And if that's got you interested, and I hope it has, you can search and find him in the gospel. A gospel, we've got Luke's gospels, three gospels out there. You could read it in the remaining time before you go back to work with no problems at all. Read about Jesus. Find him in there. We have a course, it's called Christianity Explored, and there's the title gives you a clue. It's about exploring Christianity, and it's where you can come along and ask your most difficult questions you want. And it introduces you to Jesus. Or if you've got burning questions now, either ask me, and I can point you to others, like Ben or David. But I do pray that as you look at these special signs, you will see this is no ordinary king. Not like any other king. This is the shepherd king who will die. And that maybe as you read that, you'll come to believe in him. Well, if you're in the second camp, I think that you're already a believer and you believe this is good news. What's your response? Your response if you're a believer. Next slide, I think it is. Then reflect on that human, on that great fact that God became man. It is truly, truly mind-blowing that God, knowing what we were like, sent his son, and his son willingly became 100% man and 100% God. That should always stir our hearts. That should always warm us. No matter what we're in the middle of, no matter what we're facing this year, God became man. And it wasn't just for a season. It wasn't just for 30-odd years. He's still man. We have man being represented in the Godhead. He is there pleading for us. It's a wonderful thing to know when I am praying to Jesus, it is going to the Father. It doesn't just end there. It reaches the very Father and he hears our prayers. There he is. He knows what you've gone through. He knows every single emotion you have felt. He knows keenly. And therefore you can come to him. He's fully sympathetic, 100% sympathetic. He knows what it's like. He's walked. I remember as a new believer reading in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow because the day has sufficient troubles in it. And I thought, wow. And I was only 20-odd, etc. And you think, wow, that is so true, isn't it? I thought, there is a man who has walked this earth, who knows what it's like. This is a shepherd king. Reflect on him and then give of your best. What is the best you can give? Well, trust him as that shepherd. Willingly trust him, not reluctantly thinking, I've tried everything else. In the village we worked in, that was it. Basically, you queued up and they tried every single thing. And I was at one point at the end of the queue. They tried everything. Don't be like that. Trust him straight away. Go to him straight away as your shepherd. The one who's going to lead you to verdant pastures. The one who's going to give you strength and comfort to go through those dark valleys. The one who's going to be your shepherd king. And then loving obey him. The king has spoken. The Bible is his word. The king has spoken. Listen to him. Follow what he says. Look to him more in 25 as your king. Obey his word. Not the cherry-picked ones that you like, but all of it. Not out of duty, but out of love. Look to him more as your shepherd. Listen for that voice. It says the sheep hear his voice. He speaks, but we do not listen. He speaks, and we do not hear. Listen for him. In silence, seek him. See the signs of his goodness to you and praise him. Trust him in the midst of those difficult times. So, this is the shepherd king, the newborn king, the one who will walk with us till the end of our lives. He will walk through 2025 as he's walked through 2024. Trust in your shepherd king. Trust in your king. Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly became our shepherd king, even though you knew that you would never sit on a throne. People would never pay the true homage. People would never bow to you on earth as you deserved. Only now in heaven are people bowing before you. Only now in heaven are you seated at God's right hand. Father, I just pray that you would help us by your Spirit to look to the Lord Jesus as a shepherd king as we go into 2025, that we would trust him more as that shepherd, that we would, we'd listen out to his for his voice and hear it, that we would trust what his word says and put it into practice. And if we are not your part of your family, Lord, speak to us this day and draw us to that shepherd king, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.